The title of today's talk is Worry Bird Consciousness. Worry Bird Consciousness enlightenment does not make. Attic fans are sometimes called whirlybirds because they rotate their air-catching fins to ventilate the hot air out of the attic, and they automatically catch the air and spin. Helicopters are often referred to as whirlybirds because of their rotating propellers that create lift of the machine and also can create quite a disturbance of air on the ground going and coming. Unfortunately, our subconscious minds are like whirlybirds, creating quite a distracting disturbance to the nervous system and attention efforts to specific disciplines one might want to undertake. I have in the past referred to a research paper on industrial injuries and read the history of one particular doctor who was in charge of heavy industrial injuries. And he had been working with a particular plant for years. And he became very meticulous in his examination of the patient's experiences as they had gone through their injuries, what came before. And what he found out with careful questioning, and the reason he was so careful in his questioning was because the company had insured the workers, and he wanted to make sure that they qualified for the company's insurance under certain circumstances. On close examination, he found out that all of the industrial injuries were preceded by at least a 74-hour period of time in which the worker had had a charged emotional experience. In effect, the emotional processing was going on during their work. And it was the distracting factor that seemed to lead to the injury. Olympic sports and sports people are riddled with the high record of failure or injury due to emotionally charged thought processes that interfere with their concentration on the actual discipline skills. These skills require a high performance of attention to the actual skill. The very fear of failure can often be the cause of it. If you watch the Olympics on television and you listen to the interviews, the stories of the Olympiads, they get a full complement of emotionally charged worries and problems that are related to the sport itself and their ability to perform. Whether it's, do they have enough money for the training? Do they have the opportunities? Can they overcome injuries in the early part of their training? La, 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 la. You can imagine how many times they have gone through some kind of emotional reaction to their training failures. Especially in the earlier period of time. But then, if you watch their history, they've had injuries or failures. Something came up that interfered with their feeling of competency in their skill. And so you might say that the Olympics are a learning school for emotional, let's say, undigested energy. Not overcome. It's still interfering. All personalities are made and developed around and over emotionally charged experiences. They collect in the subconscious mind throughout life and play a defining role of distraction to being in the now with a quiet, open-hearted mind and presence. Emotionally charged memories don't have to be cognitive at all. They've just patterned themselves into the subconscious. And so, here we are. If you study the life stories of many saints of all genres, you will hear the story of overcoming emotionally charged memories. So, don't think you're the Lone Ranger. There's no one that doesn't have them. There has to be emotional charging because the first time a child trips and falls on their face, they are not a happy camper. And they process that for some time. And mommy may come by, or daddy, and kiss it all better, but it doesn't make it go away. I was reading a story about a child that had wandered away in the backyard while mama was hanging the laundry, and she wasn't paying close attention. And at the back of their yard was a little irrigation ditch that ran through the neighborhood. And it was dry in the season that this was taking place, but the child got into the ditch and climbed into the culvert that went under a driveway. And got stuck. Spiders and all. And when the mother finally was able to get the child out and get the child calmed down and distracted from the problem that he had experienced, everybody thought that things were hunky-dory. The child was in a good space, he could play again, he could do his thing. But within a 6-week period of time, he developed a trauma against insects, in particular spiders. And he carried that post-traumatic stress for years. See a spider, he'd go in orbit. Finally, he met somebody who did EFT and was able to down-train and out-train that. But it had afflicted him for a long period of time in his life. And I've often told the story of the psychiatrist that was allergic to yellow roses and only yellow roses because it was a flashcard to a traumatic event in his childhood when he was supposed to be going to bid grandma goodbye, who was laid out on the kitchen table in the house, and he was riding his horse to go say goodbye to grandma who was laid out on the kitchen table. And he couldn't face it. And what had happened is he discovered through hypnosis and regression that he not only was thrown from his horse right at the, let's say, trellis area, archway to the house that had climbing yellow roses, but that he was guilty of not telling the truth to his family that he had caused his horse to throw him so he didn't have to kiss grandma stretched out on the kitchen table. Gone through medical school, been treating people for years, and still, if a yellow rose was anywhere, whether he could see it or not, he would have a reaction to it. How many post-traumatic experiences have you got stored away? And so, that is work. It's work for athletes, it's work for musicians and performers and anybody who's doing anything, it's work for every human being. And there we are. So when you study the lives of saints, if you get a full picture of their before and after, you know that their work was overcoming their stored dramas, their imprints that kept them tense and doing certain things or reacting to life in certain ways. In other words, their whole personality. So don't think that anybody isn't in that category. Everybody is. And they carry around to more or less degrees to the surface their reactionalism. Some people just have a firecracker response to any particular thing that triggers them. Others have suppressed it to a degree, but are seething and reacting in a smoldering sort of a way until they're pushed too far. And there you are. It happens to everyone. So, enlightenment is more difficult than the Olympics. Because managing your stress syndromes in a sport area is more contained. But 24 hours a day, makes a whole lot of difference. And there you are. 24 hours a day, you're dealing with stored reactionalism in the subconscious mind. And it triggers, let's say, unsuspected side reactions that you don't know are related to the original trigger. So it's a very tricky business to overcome ourselves. And the detached observer is a big help. Watching, you know, the Buddhists call it mindfulness, masters call it detached observer. Detached observer means you watch for your reactions. You watch them come up when you're doing something, or you're just sitting and it's playing again, Sam. Something is playing again that is trying to get you to react, to be tense. Well, the problem is you're trying not to be tense and it's trying to make you tense, keep you tense. Because undoing the treasure trove of stored emotional reactions, you know, you really don't want to get to the bottom of that, because then the ego loses power. And you know, ego never wants to lose power. No, you don't know. If you knew, you'd be a little more alert. So, watching the Olympic players and sports people is educational, because you hear their stories of injury and trauma and problems and situations. And when you watch the Olympics and you see, let's say, the bicyclers who are pumping their brains out on their bicycles, and they're making progress and they're getting passing each other around curves and getting ahead of a little knot of bicyclers who are cyclers that are ganged up, and you finally worked out of the pack and you're getting ahead, And then another bicycler comes along and gets in front of you and all that sort of stuff. And you see that, and you can see the tension to try to overcome that situation. Not to just go forward, but to overcome the trauma of being past. You see, every time a sports person is in competition, they're in competition against others, not just to get there fast. It's not like, oh, you're in the swimming pool by yourself and you have the whole Olympic pool to yourself and you're racing against yourself. You're racing against other swimmers. So we have an additive that is another layer of trigger. Somebody you've competed against before. Somebody who is trying to distract you, or someone who is, let's say, a long-time person who you don't like in the competition, la, 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 la. So managing the emotional world is opportune. And anything or anybody can trigger it. It can be things. It can be places. It can be seasons. It can be, you know, sounds. It can be, you know, you hear a scream in the night. What is it? You've got a flashcard of things that might be happening. You hear brakes screeching. When we lived up at the lodge, we lived on a curve, and in the wintertime, the curve was the catch-all for speeding cars on icy roads that went into or over the edge of the bridge, and we would hear the brake screech, we'd hear how much noise came from them, and we would decide what we needed to run out with to rescue whoever not quite made the curve or had made the curve into the creek. And so, I mean, living in New York is like living in an emergency. Screaming in the streets, yelling, sirens going, 4 o'clock garbage cans being thrown down the stairs by the garbage collectors, and gunshots and whatever. You live in this pool of trauma, let's say, stimulants. And that's why when they do those tests, when New Yorkers are subjected to a series of loud metallic noises that replicate those things in the city, that their level of return to normal never happens. It's collective and it raises the bar. People who live in the country return to a baseline. People who live in small communities return to a baseline, but much slower than people in the hinterland. Now, I'm sure if you heard a bear on your porch trying to get in, you might have a response. We do. We did. We have. The bear climbing over the top of the car, okay, you know, front porch. Trying to get into the hot tub, okay. Bending over the apple tree, trying to get apples, you know, things like that. The idea of a fire in the forest is traumatizing. How many times have you seen people photographed trying to get away from the major fires we see around in the West Coast and now the East Coast and the Canada and you name it? The fires are pretty wild. And how about hurricanes and how about tornadoes that have been going on this week? How many houses got blown down? And how many people respond to the idea of hurricane or of a tornado? A tornado is coming. Oh, why don't we go out and play in the backyard? No, I don't think so. There is trauma related to weather. Especially people who have been struck by lightning and survived it. So, life is full of trauma. But think of soldiers, people who are involved in wars, citizens who are involved and the object of the problem of the war. How many people didn't get traumatized by Auschwitz? You see, prison life, there are plenty of things that traumatize. But it's not just the people involved, it's all the people related to those people who aren't personally involved, but are personally involved because they're related somehow. Married to children of aunts and uncles of, grandparents of, you know, friends of, whatever. There isn't anybody that probably hasn't had some kind of relationship with someone who's been traumatized by war or crime. So we've got a package full of emotional memories that love to play it again, Sam. They love to come up and keep you alert or reactional. So be kind to yourself. Be kind to yourself. But that doesn't mean you don't understand that you're a closet full of emotional charged memories. And they will come up when you don't know they're going to come up. And they can come up and be related to something you don't even, even if you're trying to be observant, you're not catching it. You're just not catching it because it's too fast. It's like a little flash. It's like a flash image of something may not register cognitively, but subconsciously it will. So you're dealing with a very complex set of emotional memory. And the more you relax and accept the fact that they're there, rather than you want to get rid of them in the sense of you want to repress them, you want to bless them and let them go. So blessing them and letting them go and blessing them and letting them go and blessing them and letting them go is a better way of dealing with them. And so when you're in this detached observer situation, if you are detached, if you're intending to allow yourself to see them so they can come up to be released, the better. So, yeah, you know, everybody's done ding-a-ling things in their life, and ding-a-ling things have happened to them. Traumatic things. And, you know, jumping off roofs when you know better and landing on a fence straddle-legged was not fun. And, you know, children don't have good sense. They don't have the development of analysis of what a situation might bring up. So wandering out at night in the woods where the deer and the antelope and the bear roam can be an eventful time. But you don't know. A child wandering into a empty drainage ditch into the culvert to see what's in there. A child who runs behind a car that's backing up and gets run over. Yeah. Sit in a hospital emergency room long enough, and you hear all kinds of interesting stories. And you see all kinds of interesting things. So life is loaded with emotionally charged events, period. For everyone. There's no exception. Everybody has them. So the undoing is the work, because they're interfering with present, open-hearted, open-minded focus. It's a play yard that the subconscious wants to fill up with some kind of energy, memory, a trigger for something. Well, I'm going to get a backache if I sit here for too long, you know. And, I forgot to turn off the hose, okay. You know. And what the whole scenario of possibilities of problems that can come up. Saint Benedict threw himself down the hill and rolled in a thorn bush because he kept having in the cave where he was trying to meditate and be stalwart and spiritual, he kept having sensual feelings and thoughts and visions. And so he threatened his body that if it kept doing that, he was going to do something drastic. And he did. And he rolled down the mountain into thorn bushes and said, "So there, take that. Do it again." And that's the... And so the body finally used a trauma of thorn bushes to tame the sensual, emotional charged imagery. Yeah, saints have done some pretty wacky things in order to get over their conditioned emotional trauma storehouse. I mean, think of poor Saint Paul, who was Saul on the road to Damascus, who in the end asked to be crucified upside down because he didn't deserve to be crucified in the same position as Jesus. What was he carrying from the warehouse of his hatred and mean intent all the way down to Damascus? And that's the story of many saints. They have dealt with their traumatic past and brought it to heal. So that's the work. Everyone has trauma in their past, regardless of whether it was just tripping down a stair. I tripped up the stair in the opera house in Vienna and landed in the crotch of a person coming down the stairs. And he didn't know what to do, and I didn't know what to do, and there we were, rocking on the stairs. And it was interesting. People from below and people from above aghast and standing there not knowing how to help. So, you see, everybody has something going on. So, be kind to yourself, but be clear. There's a difference between being uptight about it and just being clear in a detached sort of way that you're doing the work that every single person has to go through if they're ever going to get close to their spiritual attunement. It just is. That's life in the body. So, get around to it, right? That's it. But being afraid of it is giving it fire. You don't want to give fire to a bonfire. You don't want to pour gasoline on the fire that you're trying to put out. So relaxing and accepting that emotional trauma memory is in all, everyone. Where is it stored? In a baby being born. The birth process is not what you might call comfy, either for the mother or for the baby. So, day one. What about the trauma that the fetus may have felt if the mother fell down while she was pregnant and created trauma injury to the fetus? And how about the little fetus that was the woman who was a nurse who was carrying a child that was going to be born with an exposed backbone, if there couldn't be some kind of treatment for it? And she read about one doctor who had done an in-uterine surgery on a fetus and closed the exposed backbone of the fetus. And she went there. And the doctor did the surgery successfully. And as the doctor went to close up the womb, the baby's hand reached up and took his finger and squeezed it. So, I mean, that story's been told all around the world, I think, to show that the fetus was conscious of what was going on and the effort that the doctor was making to save its life and its life's history to come. Well, the ups and the downs. And, you know, there's positive emotional charging that may be erroneous. It doesn't mean that all charged emotions are negative. It means that there's charged emotions in both directions. And that you might misinterpret the emotional high as much as the emotional low. Why are some people emotionally head up? I mean, there's 999 million programs of people falling in love because of some reason that isn't reasonable. And then discover later, you'll see, because the misinterpretation of personality traits was so that something triggered you. It's like people, why did they buy a house that they, as I said in the last talk, that it wasn't anything that they wanted that they had given the example of to their realtor to look for. And by chance, they were taken to a house that didn't meet all the expectations that the realtor thought should be there, but she was taking a chance. And they fell in love with the house because the whole chandelier reminded them of Grandma. Okay, the rest of the house was falling down, but the chandelier was there, you see. So, yeah, our brains are a little crazy. And bringing them to bay, bringing them under control, should be an effort of detached observation. and clarity as to the objective. You're not just kissing the little child well, because that can suppress the trauma and make it come back as post-traumatic stress. You're not just putting a kissy-kissy on it. What you're doing is you're blessing it and asking for it to accept loving focus. Bless it and thank it for being in your life and releasing it. That it was there for a purpose, it served its purpose, and thank you very much. I love you, and thank you for having been there. You don't squish it, okay? You lovingly accept it, and bless it, and release it. So tension is indigenous to life in the body, in all kinds of stored emotional stuff. And it can be your first memory of ice cream, for crying out loud. So ice cream is the top of the hit parade of mis-eating habits. A little child who had been deprived of, let's say, things when they were a child, and were like the little child outside the candy shop whose parents couldn't afford candy for them, and their nose is up against the window, and they feel deprived because of poverty. Stays with them throughout life and affects their behavior. Deprived because of poverty. If you read a lot of the English writings, class distinction is a be-all, end-all of the social structure of the British kingdom. Why do they hang on to royalty? Why do they hang on to the fact that the silverware should be an inch from the bottom of the table, and they should have layout this way, and then, you know, and you eat with this fork and that fork. And you need to have this accent and that accent, and if you talk Cockney or some other dialect other than Oxford English, you're not quite, you know. All you have to do is read a lot of English literature, and you find out how persnickety people are about clothing, cut, dress styles. You have to have a dressmaker who is going to alter your clothes or make new clothes every year. And how many military people are strutting around with bandages over their egos for what they haven't accomplished, or what they could have accomplished, or what they let happen to other people in war, how they survived it and others next to them didn't. Be aware that everyone is carrying a bucket full of trauma, bucket full of emotionally charged memories that is subliminated most of the time. but is at work, is on guard, is watching, is picking up detail. How many people know of children who are scared to death of a dog? And that carries on for some people until they die. And it doesn't matter if it's a Chihuahua or if it's a, you know, Pekingese or whether it's a Pomeranian, a little tiny guy, you know. They're dangerous, they're this way, they're that way. Or they demand attention that you don't want to share. You don't have the emotional capacity to let a dog compete with your presence in a room. It's insulting, it's, you know, somehow you can't put up with it. So, you know, there you are. And other people who think that people are strange, if they don't like animals, you know. So, here we go. We're in and out and up and down and through the daisies, and everybody's got something. If there was a reincarnated person who worked on the pyramids, how do you think they would respond if they see the pyramids? How many people can work on a submarine? How many people could be locked into a space capsule? I met a cosmonaut woman who was called Iron Pants, and she was the first woman to go into space and walk in space. And when I asked her why they called her Iron Pants, she said, because I'm not afraid of anything. And we were riding in a taxi a day later, and the traffic was fairly busy. And she had her hand out the window, holding on to the frame of the car with great fear. And I said, well, I thought they called you Iron Pants because you're not afraid of anything. And she says, we don't have any traffic in Moscow like that. This is dangerous. Empty space was safe. And car-ridden Washington, D.C. was scarier than heck. So, you see, even though you think you don't have, you have. If you don't think you've got little traumas stored away, little emotional melodramas stored away, check out a few rehearsals of things that happen in your life that you've reacted to. And then see if you can trace it back and see why it happened. People who have been locked in closets can't stand, as a punishment, can't stand to get in planes and see the door close. They get, whoa, hysterical, and have to get off. Can't handle it. So, all through history, you've acquired some emotional baggage. And all through this life, it's become a whole bunch of emotional experiences have been charged and stowed away. And so it's something that you have to deal with, period, is to learn to sit quietly and see it happen, see it come up, and bless it and release it. Bless it and release it, bless it and release it. So, it's entertaining. That's what keeps us entertained away from spirit. It's distraction. Call it entertainment, but it's really distraction. It's the way the subconscious distracts us from relaxed, open-hearted, joyful attunement to the spirit. Period. So, enjoy the work. Enjoy it. Because you're undoing it if you can allow it. You can undo it if you can allow it. And that's how we get over addictions. An emotionally charged memory is an addiction. Have to, want to, need to. Need is an addiction, is it not? You need to have a good position in life. You need to look good. You need to have plenty. You need to have a new car. You need, you need, you need. Do you need, or do you just follow the suggestion of the subconscious mind that you need? Ah, yes. That subconscious mind is an interesting creature. So, enjoy the show, you know? Enjoy it. I mean, you can keep enjoying it because you know everybody else is dealing with it, whether they're cognitive of it or not, and you're luckily been put on the path to be cognitive of your emotionally triggered, stored information. And you can begin to not have to live it out over and over again. I mean, it's a blessing. Why do you think the path is not a blessing? The path is a blessing. It's just hard work. Hard, hard, very hard work. Saying no to ice cream is the only thing that makes me happy. Hard work. No, thank you. I won't take any ice cream. It's, yeah, I'm making silly of it, but that's how silly it is. We just have to offload, 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 offload. And let it come up and let it go. Let it come up and bless it and let it go. Let it come up and bless it and let it go. Yeah. Okay. Onward and onward, huh?